Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
How's everyone doing out there? You know who this is. This is Duchess, a.k.a. Yolanda. How's everybody doing? I've had a harrowing week, a real rushed week. It's been amazing, up and down, all around, you know, like being on a roller coaster one minute and then like being on a Ferris wheel the next, you know, going round and round and where you stop, nobody knows, or where you're going. Y'all all know that I retired from my job March the 29th, and that was an amazing experience. It was wonderful knowing how many people loved me and embraced me and would miss me, and I missed them before I even walked out of the door, and it brought many tears to my eyes. And just when I thought I was going to be off and free and able to travel here and there and maybe visit my mother a little bit more often right up the road in New York, she decided to take her last walk the Friday after I retired. So it's been an amazing 1 week. It seems like so much has happened in that week that my head is still spinning. Well, I just got back from New York and attending Mother's Send-Off. I got back Saturday, and my voice still gets a little choked up because she wasn't sick at all. She wasn't sick, and but she wasn't alone when she took that last walk. She had gotten up as usual on Friday, and she got dressed and ready for them to pick her up for her Friday prayer. Muslims have their prayer services on Friday, and that's what she was on her way to do. Friday morning, she got to a masjid on Friday morning and handed over her zakat, that's her charity offering, and then she decided that she was ready to leave us. Please forgive me, I'll be clearing my throat a lot because I'm losing my voice. I've been doing a lot of talking and a lot of business, and so my voice is gets kind of choked up while I'm talking. One of the beautiful experiences that happened after my mother's passing was going to New York and having my youngest son say that I was to worry about nothing. He drove me up there. He put me in a hotel. We went back and forth from the hotel to mother's apartment because she's living in the apartment, the same apartment that she lived in when we moved into that apartment when I was 18 years old. And some of you know how old I am, and some of you don't, but all of you know that I'm a far cry from 18 any longer. And that's how long she's lived in that apartment. So one of the things that was really amazing for me to experience was the fact that she's a Muslim, and Muslims perform a janazah on their believers. My sister, a former sister-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my niece, and three Muslim sisters from my mother's mosque or masjid, if you prefer to use that term, we performed the janazah. And that's the washing and shrouding of your deceased. When a Muslim dies, it is the responsibility of the family or other Muslims within the local community to wash them according to the Islamic rites of washing the deceased. Usually, at least 3 to 4 people will be involved with the actual ghusl, that's called washing. There are some acts in Islam which are known as fard e kifaye, meaning it is a communal obligation. Therefore, if no one from the Muslim community did this, then all would be major sinners. And if some did do this, then all would be relieved of that duty. Washing and shrouding and praying the janazah prayer is a communal obligation for a deceased Muslim, man or woman. It is obligatory upon Muslim men to wash the deceased Muslim man, and it is obligatory upon the Muslim women to wash a deceased Muslim woman. Islam recognizes the sacredness of a Muslim's body, and therefore it must be treated with dignity and respect. The washing and shrouding is a tremendous, virtuous, and dignified task that all Muslims should strive for. When the deceased is a relative, a father or a mother, etc., then they have a right to be washed by their own children. This is what my sister and I experienced. Okay? But due to lack of knowledge and sometimes ignorance, it's left to others from the community to do this because not everyone is comfortable. And I didn't know how comfortable or uncomfortable I would feel. But I'm going to tell you, if I had not attempted, I would have never forgiven myself for not knowing if I could experience that opportunity. And I say it was a blessing. We had a most wonderful time there with my mother at Unity Funeral Home, where they usually do their own thing back there, but they opened up their doors for six of us Muslim sisters to go there and be with my mother. One of my sisters, my niece, she did the bathing. And the others of us, once my niece was finished bathing and I was able to rub my mother's hair and, you know, rub her cheek and talk to her. And once my niece finished, then all six of us began to do the shrouding, the dressing. So during the bathing process, the body of the male and female must be covered. They must be covered so their private parts remain covered at all times by having a thick piece of cloth covering the navel to the knees of a man and from the chest to the knees of a woman. When these parts need washing, and the bather must ensure that he or she has their hands wrapped in cloth or in gloves so that they do not lift the material up off the person that they're blessing with the bath. And they do this without looking underneath, as they would wash the private areas, which my niece didn't have to do all of that because my mother was already blessed to be cleaned from the hospital, because they took her to the hospital straight from her masjid, her mosque, her spiritual services. So she was clean before she left the hospital, and she was already clean when they presented her there to us at the Unity Funeral Home. So we didn't have to go through all of that. We just placed the oils on her, scented oils, and then we wrapped her in the shroud. Okay? And I wanted to share with people, you know, something of that nature, because a lot of people, when you say, or when I tell them, I had the blessing of giving my mother and dressing her and preparing her for her viewing the next day, they're surprised. One person said, "Oh, you're such a strong person." It didn't take any strength to do that. My sister and I, we walked in there, and we looked at her, and we loved her, and we knew that this was a part of her religious faith, and we felt most blessed to be able to be a part of her preparation and her send-off. So at this time, I'm going to read to everyone Mother's obituary, her biography, a brief statement, because this show is dedicated to my mother. As I see the light shine on my screen here in the studio, that's one telephone number that I'm missing, because she never missed a show. She was always there, and she always contacted me on Sunday to find out, is there going to be a show today, Yolanda? And if not, she would call my sister. Rajia, do you know if there's going to be a show today? Is Yolanda having a show? You know, well, she called me Yolanda. The show name is Duchess. But, of course, Mother called me by my name. So this show is a tribute to her, the whole entire show, because I will no longer be able to see her telephone lights up on the screen unless it's my brother calling in from the house telephone number, and that will just give me all kinds of charges. So here we go. February 27th, 1928, she had just turned 92 in February, 91 in February. And she left us April 5th, 2019. Samira Islam was born Willie Mae Tichie on February 29th, 1928, in Harlem, New York, as the third child of William and Georgia Tichie. She departed this life on April 5th, 2019, at age 91 years. As a child, Samira would dress up as a boy so she could shine shoes and sell newspapers with her big brother, Earl, to earn money to help support her mother and sisters, Elizabeth and Bernice Hafisa. Samira attended New York City public schools and left school early to get a job as a factory worker. As she began to raise her own family, After some years in the factory, Samira began to work as a daycare provider, raising countless children, a career that would eventually span over 45 years. Now, you know, when I get to this part, I remember that she started taking care of those children when my 51-year-old son was 5 years old. That's when she started her daycare, so that she could open up and take care of him while I went to school. And doing the cleaning up of her paperwork while we were at the house, my sister and I came across a list. It seemed like she sat down one day and she wrote down the name of every single child that she had taken care of in her home, and it totaled 70 of them. She named each one of those children. I brought the list home with me. At the prompting of her eldest son, Jihad, Samira would accept the religion of al-Islam in 1974. And I have to smile at that, because I talked to an old childhood friend of mine today. She and I were friends when I was 16 years old, and she was 18. And so she said to me, she said, did they mention that your mother joined Islam and you brought her into Islam, her and your aunt? And I said, no. I said, my brother thinks he did it, and I allowed it to rest that way. And my friend said, I was there. I remember. It was you. So if you listen, Jihad, I'm saying it over the ear, I will allow you to think you brought mother in, but it was me. Because I used to go and listen to Minister Farrakhan. Okay? So, Samira would accept the religion of al-Islam in 1974 and would dutifully serve the Muslim community through four administrations of leadership, from Minister Louis Farrakhan to Minister Jeremiah Shahid Shabazz to Imam Ali Rashid and Imam Ezekiel M. Pasha, under the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad currently. Samira was mostly known for her work at Masjid Malcolm Shabazz as hostess of the hospitality room, where she welcomed newly converted Muslims. Samira was also well known for her work in the charity department, collecting and tallying donations made by the congregation. One of Samira's most enjoyable duties was to prepare iftar, that's the serving of fresh dates and water or juice during the holy month of Ramadan, so believers could enjoy refreshments after a long day of fasting. Samira was blessed to perform Hajj, that's the pilgrimage to the holy city Mecca, in 1988, where she earned the title of Hajja. Samira was also responsible for her sister Hafisa's and their parents' conversion to our Islam before they themselves departed this life. On a more intimate note, Samira enjoyed a special relationship with her cats, Sarah, Jenna, and Faja, who all lived within her household at differing points in Samira's life. Each of her pets would sit quietly at Samira's feet as she made her daily prayers or read from the Holy Quran. Samira was well known throughout the Muslim community and the community at large as a loving, kind, and compassionate person who always greeted everyone with a kind word and a warm, bright, and sincere smile. Samira is predeceased by her siblings, Earl, that's Buster Tichy, Elizabeth James, and Hafisa Hassan. Samira is survived by her four children, Yolanda, Zahira Madhune, Jahad Qasim, and Rajia Renee Shahid, and Latif Quran Islam. 11 grandchildren, 24 great-grandchildren, and 11 grandchildren, 24 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren, and a host of cousins and nieces and nephews. So it was my brother Latif Quran Islam who designed her obituary and with input from the rest of us. Short show today. Now what I want to share is what Mother would not forgive me if I didn't share. And this was her favorite surah, from the Holy Quran. She loved this surah. Surah means chapter. Ayat means verse. So this is the surah, the Romans. Surah Ar-Rum, the Romans. Al-Lam-Mim. The Romans have been defeated. In the nearer land of Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and Palestine, and they, after their defeat, will be victorious. Within 3 to 9 years, the decision of the matter before and after these events is only with Allah. Before the defeat of the Romans by the Persians and after the defeat of the Persians by the Romans. And on that day, the believers will rejoice at the victory given by Allah to the Romans against the Persians. With the help of God, Allah, he helps whom he wills, and he is the Almighty, the Most Merciful. It is a promise of Allah. Allah will give victory to the Romans against the Persians, and Allah fails not in his promise. But most of men know not. They know only the outside appearance of the life of the world, the matters of their livelihood, like irrigating or sowing or reaping, etc., and they are heedless of the hereafter. Do they not think deeply in their own selves, about themselves, how Allah created them from nothing? And similarly, He will resurrect them. Allah has created not the heavens and the earth, and all is between them, except with truth and for an appointed time. And indeed, many of mankind deny the meeting with their Lord. That was her favorite surah. And last but not least is a poem that my brother, Jahad Qasim, wrote for my mother many years ago. So this wasn't written at this time. This was something that was brought forward to the present day. And it was so representative of his thoughts and his feelings about her that it was brought forward to current day for him to read this at her prayer service. It's entitled A Mother's Poem by Jahad Qasim. I may not be the son of Adam and Eve, the first parents on earth, but I received another blessing. It was you who gave me birth. You may not have been the first to chanter between Safa and Marwa and Zamzam water you did not find, but you did cast stones at Satan and Arafat you did climb. I did not float in the river when Pharaoh came to destroy, nor did you find the basket that hid the baby boy. The miraculous birth of Jesus is contrary even today, but your illuminating aura from Allah has helped me find my way. You may not have been one of the Prophet's glorious wives, nor a Sahaba or any other, but one thing is sure, I'm glad you are my mother. I will share a secret. Yes, I hear you every day, reciting your Quran in the morning before you go to pray. And at night, when I close my eyes, I like to reverently say, my thoughts constantly go, thank you, Allah, oh, thank you, Allah, for making it this way. So, if any of you out there would like to press one and talk over the air or make a comment, you know, a family member, because my board is lit up phenomenally. And there may be some of you out there that might want to say something. If not, I'll say a little silent prayer and then we'll close the show early today because this is a daughter's farewell tribute to mother. And that's how I'd like for it to be. So in closing, I'm going to recite the Al-Fatiha in Arabic, and then I'll do it in English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyagana abuduwa iyagana stain, ektina sirota mustakin, sirota ladina namti alehim, kairin mektubi alehim waladolim. Amen. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of God, the beneficent, most merciful, praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. I'm going to miss you, Mom. You stay blessed. I know you're blessed. And you left in the most blessed way. Good night, everyone, and thank you so much for sharing this moment with me. Talk to you all soon. Have a good night, and be blessed everybody, okay?